Please take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14, verses 5 through 8 this morning. Let's look to the Lord to ask Him to bless our time. Father, we just thank You for Your truth, Your word. We thank You that it reveals You, the God who does not change, that is faithful. We can always count on You, trust You. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be like You, that we would seek to find those that are like You as well, and to help each other to live, to follow You. Help me clearly explain this passage this morning and use it in our lives to make us more like Your Son, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled my message this morning, How to Find Wise People. How to Find Wise People. You know, what do you do when you need to find the right product for something? All right, you're looking for something out there that would fit this need. Where do you go? Google it. Okay? Where else, maybe? Walmart? Yep, could be Walmart. Target? Could be Amazon or eBay are the two places I often go. There's a multitude of products out there, but what do you do when you have multiple good product or multiple products that proclaim to do the same thing? What do you do to how to decide between them? You look at the reviews, real life experience, and you have to learn to sift through the reviews and ones that people are just user error, they don't know how to use the product. Or, the ones that truly are telling you that, this is either good or this is really bad. Don't ever buy this. Don't waste your money on it. God's Word helps us to know that when it comes to people. How to know what are the good ones, what are the bad ones, which are the ones that we should listen to. And this passage helps us to do that in verses 5 through 8. It's been 3 weeks ago since we looked at Proverbs 14. And last time we studied how to live wisely by following the directives of being a wise home builder, to be constructive, not destructive, with our hands. And that's often, when we're self-righteous, that just tears our own home apart. We're hypocritical and we try to accomplish the opposite of what we intend. Then there's to be a wise way walker, to be upright and fearing the Lord, not being perverse or crooked in our ways, and ultimately despising God when you think, I know better than God, I'm going to go my way instead of going God's way. Then the directive of being a wise wordsmith, or how our wise words or wise lips preserve us versus the mouth of fools being a rod of pride. It's your means to being your own destruction or your own discipline. And then lastly, being a wise businessman, and that principle of no oxen, or as Scott put it, no Angus, black Angus, right? If you don't have, the cattle, you don't have the means of increase, right? Yeah, sure, you don't have to clean up all that stinky manure and all the things that go with that, cleaning out the trough and all the work that goes into it, but you also don't have the huge increase that comes because of the strength of the ox and the productiveness that is a result. The investment, some investments are worth it, right? Buying an ox, taking care of it, is worth it. In that day and age, and we could compare that to a lot of other things today, depending on what field you're in. Now, Solomon continues instructing in wise living by revealing how to find the faithful people in life, those that won't hurt us but will help us. And he shows how to find wise people with two advices that he gives in verses 5 through 8. Again, this is part of the major section on more individual Proverbs, but I think here are the wise instructions for living. And especially here a contrast between wisdom and folly. Really, I think these verses could in some ways be an application of chapter 13, verse 20. It says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. And it describes those two different people, the ones you want, the ones you don't want, and how to find them in life. So verses 5 and the beginning of verse 8, says a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. And then verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Solomon, in these verses, describing how faithful or trustworthy, how the faithful, these are people who can be counted on, right? The ones that stay the same. They don't have a different story when it comes to this situation versus this situation, and depending on the people they're with. A faithful witness will tell the same story again and again. And I'm not talking about the fish story where it just gets longer and longer, every time it's told. No, it's the truth stays the same. Ultimately, Jesus is the best faithful witness. In fact, it calls him that in Revelation 3:14. He is the faithful and true witness, as it tells us. And we're to be like him, right? This is the kind of person that you want in your life. This is the kind of person that you want to listen to. Contrast that with a false witness. This is the one who tells lies. I mean, literally, it means that they will breathe out lies. And if you've learned anything about lies already from the book of Proverbs, God hates lying, as he told us in chapter 6. And chapter 19, verses 6 and 9, tells us that lies will be punished. It won't go unpunished. Right? And instead, we need to remember that this is against God's law. This is not what He wants. In fact, the law even specified if you were to find your neighbor's animal in the field and didn't tell him about it, that was wrong too. That's a form of lying. Leaving out the truth. Right? You can say, well, I didn't lie. But if you misled people or you didn't tell them what you should have told them, that's a form of lying. And that is what God condemns. Instead, we need the truth. And it tells us in verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent, and prudent there means the idea of being shrewd, you know, it can assess the situation, is to understand or discern his way. He sees through the situation, sees what should be done. Verse 15 says, the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The one who is prudent knows how to assess the situation and knows the way forward, right? To where to go from there. These are the kind of people you want in your life that'll help you, will tell you the truth when you need to hear it. There's a later in the book of Proverbs in chapter 27, verse 6, it tells us that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Right? You want someone that's going to tell you the truth when you need to hear it, not just tell you what you need to hear. Always strikes me reading through the book of Esther. And the first time round, Haman goes home and he talks to his friends and his wife, and they're all like, yay, yeah, you're a great man. I mean, come on, you get to party with the king and queen, just you. Look at all this great stuff. Next time he goes home after he's had the debacle of leading Mordecai through the streets, getting that whole hilarious situation where he thought he was going to be the one that got to be led through the streets on the king's horse and wearing the king's clothes. And the king says, yeah, go and do that to Haman. Can you imagine in that moment? I would love to have been a fly on the wall at that point. And then he goes home, crestfallen, to his wife and they're like, and his friends, and they're like, wait a second, is Mordecai a Jew? Oh, well, in that case, you're done, you're toast. Right? I mean, that's basically what they say. Like, where was this advice when he needed to hear that? Back when he was plotting the demise of the Jews. And they should have been telling him at that point, you know, if they were true friends, someone who truly loved him, that, no, you shouldn't do that. That's stupid. No, don't go down that road because God protects the Jews. But instead, they were being really his enemies in that moment. We need people that will speak into our life, that will tell us the truth, a faithful witness, the one who has the prudence that can discern the way that we should go. So we need to find the faithful, as the advice is. You know, there's so much talk today about fake news, right? And the need to discern what the true news is. And there's all these attempts to steer people to the truth, which sometimes turn out to be later are more propaganda than the truth themselves. That's why I appreciate places like heritage.org where we get our news, that are going back to the original sources, not claiming, and they'll even tell you, this is news commentary analysis, right? So this is people talking about the news versus people actually just telling you what happened. Imagine that, when the news was supposed to be just telling you what happened. Now, you really shouldn't be called news anchors, right? They should be called, what's the other term? Gossip. Yeah, maybe there's another term. It's like presenters or something like that. It's basically they're trying to get you to go a certain way in the way they present the news. Spin. There you go. they're not news anchors because they're not anchoring the news, telling you what the truth is. We need to know what the truth is. We need people that will speak that into our lives. Are you seeking to find the faithful people who will help you to follow the truth in life? We need godly people, people that love us. This is why, your parents, not that every parent is godly, but generally speaking, parents that love you, a pastor, a good teacher, others that will speak the truth when you need to hear it, a godly friend. These are the people that we need to surround ourselves with if we are to find wisdom in life and go the right way in life. Are you first and foremost listening to Jesus, the faithful and true witness? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to go the right way, you have to go to Jesus first. And it is through Him that you find the way and the life. Are you finding eternal life and not death? Because that's where we're headed on our own. Are you reading and studying God's Word as the best source of truth? Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right? We need truth. Truth is what corresponds to reality. If you're going to know how to navigate this thing we call life, you need to know what it really is and how it works. And the best way to do that is to go to the source of truth from God and His Word. He has given us His Word to equip us for life. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It goes on to talk about the exceeding great and precious promises of God. Help us to know how to go in life. It doesn't tell us everything we want to know. It tells us what we need to know. And if you start with God and His Word, as Solomon told us back in chapter 1 as well as chapter 9, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or of wisdom, but fools despise knowledge and instruction. Right? You want to be wise, you need to start with God and His Word. 2 Peter 3 tells us that God's Word is able to make us wise for salvation. It is good for teaching us what to think, what not to think, what not to do, what to do, and will equip us for all of life. It's sufficient, as verse 17 says. I don't know about you, but I like being prepared. You want to be prepared for life? You need God and His Word. We need to turn to Him. We need to be like the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily to see if it's so. They heard what people spoke, and then they assessed it based on the standard of God's Word. So when your parents give you advice, go to God's Word. See if it matches up. When your pastor gives you advice, that's why you need to bring your Bible. Constantly check. What am I teaching you? Is it the Word of God? When your friend gives you advice, go to the Word of God as the ultimate standard. Are you surrounding yourself with people who speak truth into your life? Especially when you're tempted to believe the lies of Satan and his followers. We need that faithful friend who will wound us even. It will hurt at times. The truth will hurt at times. But far better that than the deceitful kisses of an enemy. The one who's in it for themselves, not for your best interests. The ultimate example is Satan, right? The Garden of Eden. He professed to be telling Eve the truth. You'll not die, has God said. You'll be like Him. Those were pretty deceitful kisses, weren't they? And we're still bearing the consequences of that today. There's another man in 2 Samuel 13, the friend of Amnon, Jonadab. When he was lusting after his stepsister, Jonadab doesn't say, "What are you thinking? Come on, man, wake up. That's wrong." Instead, he says, "You want it? Here's how to get it." And notice later, after he gets killed by his brother, because he wants revenge, and he's plotted that whole thing, Jonadab says, "Oh, don't worry, it's only Amnon killed." Right? He didn't really care about his friend. He wasn't that heartbroken when he was murdered. That's not the kind of friends we need. Instead, we need ones like Nathan, who was willing to confront the king. Think about that. That could have meant his own head. And yet he wisely comes in and he tells that story about the rich man and the poor man. The poor man's got this little lamb that he treats like a daughter. Sleeps with him even. In the family bed. And the rich man has all this huge flocks and a guest comes, and what does he do? He says, "I don't want to take one of my animals." And he sends his servants to go steal that little lamb. And he slaughters that to serve his guests. And David, in his righteous anger, he's like, "That man deserves to die!" And what does Nathan say? "You're the man." Right? A wise response to speak the truth. In the right way. Those are the kind of people we need in our life, right? We need people to be willing to tell us what we need to hear when we need to hear it. Not just that we'll continue to confirm our sin. Keep going down the wrong path. Are you being truthful yourself to all those in your life? Are you being a good friend to your spouse, to your kids, your friends, those at church, right? Because what are we to do with one another? Speak the truth in love. Grow up into Him who is the head, Christ, as Ephesians 4:13 tells us. This means not telling little white lies to protect others or to keep harmless secrets. There are no harmless secrets, right? Or to be known as people of the truth. And the best truth we shouldn't hide is the gospel. How many of us are guilty, if we're honest, of hiding the truth? The truth that people need to hear about Jesus and the way of salvation. We need to be that faithful friend who shares the truth of God's Word. Are you listening when people try to show you the right way and then sharing that way with others? Are you finding the faithful and so finding wisdom in life? First piece of advice. The second piece of advice here from verses 6 and 7 and last part of 8. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who has understanding. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. But the folly of fools is deceit. Solomon first here advises how a scoffer is one who is a hardened fool. Right? It's the last step. The scorner, scoffer, however you want to put that. And you see that progression in the book of Proverbs. The one who goes from being, as we saw last time, they're influenced to one who is now participant, and now they're committed in that. They're involved in that. Peter warns of the last, there will be many scoffers in the last days. We live in a day and age that is rank with scoffers. Doesn't take but 5 minutes on the internet to find scoffers, or turn on your TV and you find scoffers who make fun of God and His truth and His way. And when they seek to find wisdom, they don't find it. Because they don't want it, really, in their heart. In fact, chapter 1, verse 22 tells us that they hate knowledge. Chapter 3, verse 34 tells us that they're scorned by God. They scorn God, they'll be scorned. But He gives grace to the humble. Chapter 13, verse 1 tells us they don't listen to rebuke. They're not willing to listen. In fact, chapter 19, verse 29 tells us that they get judgment in the end. Why is this? Why? It's because they've become full of this. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, that if your eye is bad, you're all bad, right? It's how they're viewing life that's affected their whole perception. They can't find wisdom because they don't have it in them. They haven't humbled themselves. Instead, as Paul puts it, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, we need not the wisdom of this age, but we need to become a fool to become wise. He flips it on his head. You need to become what the world would consider a fool to gain true wisdom. Is it Jim Elliot says he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. Right? God's economy, God's way of life. You want things that really work? You give to get. You give it away so you have it for eternity. And these are the contradictions that God says, this is the way things really work. But the fool, the scoffer, doesn't get it. But the one, it says, the knowledge is easy to him who understands. Literally, it's a trifling. It's so easy. The one who has knowledge, he can see, as chapter 17, verse 24 tells us. Chapter 8, verse 8, it's plain to him. Or chapter 9, verse 9, that he increases in learning. Or 15, verse 7, he disperses knowledge. In fact, he has so much knowledge that he can give it away. Versus the one who's trying to find it and can't get it. What do you do with this kind of person, the scoffer? You need to go from the presence of a foolish man. You need to leave them behind when you don't perceive, or when you come to realize that they don't have knowledge. Run away from them. Leave them behind. Chapter 9, verse 6. It says, forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Right? That's what we need. We need to leave that behind us. Psalm 1 talks about in walking in the right way. Don't fall after scorners. And throughout the New Testament, there are times when someone becomes committed, hardened in their sin, and they refuse to repent, that we need to withdraw from them. Romans chapter 16, verse 17, it says to avoid them. Or 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, to not keep company with them. Ephesians 5, 6, and 7, don't partake with them. Or 1 Timothy 6, 5, to withdraw yourself. Or 2 Timothy 3, 5, to turn away from those kind of people. What's the context of all those passages? Most of them have to deal with church discipline. When someone has become committed to their sin, they refuse to repent, and when the church has lovingly gone to them, trying to correct them, and they say, no way, then we have to let them go. Deliver them to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirit may be saved in the day of Christ, as 1 Corinthians 5 says. And it tells us, don't hang out with those kind of people, because what happens if you continue to make those your close friends? 1 Corinthians 15, 33, right? Bad company corrupts good morals. They become the leaven that corrupts. Now, I mean, you can apply that to friendship and other areas too, but it is so, we need such wisdom in leaving those people. We can't have, doesn't mean that you can't have contact, just means you can't have the close friendships that you once had in the church and in life. 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And he catches the wise in their own craftiness, is the end of verse 8 here. The folly of fools is deceit. Right? They deceive even themselves. As 2 Timothy 3:13 says, that evil men will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What they're trying to do to others happens to them. They can't, and they don't even realize it. Flee the foolish. You ever been driving down the road and you get behind somebody that's like driving all erratic? And they're like over on the shoulder and then they're like this way and you're like, what do you do? What's the best thing to do at that point? You need to get around them, get ahead of them, not stay behind them. Because what, you know, if they start doing that or they all of a sudden they brake or whatever, I'm just like, get around them and get ahead of them because you don't know what they're going to do. Flee from them. Are you seeking to flee the foolish person who will hinder you from following the truth in life? The world's advice on social media and TV and friends, and I mean, it's all around us. We need to flee from it. Don't listen to it. Do you realize that we live in a time predicted in Scripture where there will be many people like this? So 2 Timothy 3 says. We live in the last days, right? The days that started with the ascent of Christ to heaven and will culminate in His return. And it's only going to get worse and worse. So we need to be on guard. Do you understand why they can't find wisdom even when seeking it? Because they won't humble themselves and go to God and His Word for it. That's where you have to start. Which begs the question, have you humbled yourself to seek wisdom from God? You know, James 4:6, you know, God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble, but he goes on to tell you how you can fix that, right? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Appreciated Tim sharing that at his dad's funeral. And, you know, challenging people. We need that challenge. We need to be willing to humble ourselves. We're not right. We need to go to the one who is right and find the answers to life. And he even repeats himself. 1 Peter 5:5. Right? Submit yourselves to each other, older to younger, whatever, you know, all those categories. And then he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we need to be willing to submit ourselves to godly people. Are you finding the plain truth of God's words in your life transformative as a result? As you submit yourself to God and His Word? Are you careful to not get sucked up into the sin around you? Whether believers or unbelievers, right? We need to walk carefully in the world, walk circumspectly, not as wise or as unwise, not as fools. Being wise. But he warns against, even like in Galatians 6:1, when you go to help a believer who's struggling with sin, be careful that you don't get caught up in that sin. Because they're living by the flesh at this point, and they're gonna sin against you, and you need to have the wisdom and the maturity to be able to respond as God calls us to by doing the right thing, even when you're sinned against. To love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Otherwise, you only make the situation worse. And all those passages are instructive. We've talked about this in Sunday school. It's like walking through the barnyard in white clothes. Right? How do you do that? Very carefully. To be in the world but not of the world while still having an impact on the world. Because Jesus prayed to not take us out of the world. Because we're to be salt and light, but to be faithful for Him in the midst of this world. It's John 17, the high priestly prayer there. Do you realize how the foolish are self-deceived, and only the light of the gospel can open their lives to the truth through Jesus Christ, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us. that we are to shine the light of the gospel. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We have renounced, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the truth, the word of God deceitfully, but manifesting or showing, disclosing the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if we, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus and ourselves, his bondservants, your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of Christ. Right? This is what we need. We need to shine the light of the gospel. Satan wants to keep people hidden, their eyes blinded to the truth. We need to speak the truth into their lives. Are you fleeing the foolish and so seek or so finding wisdom in life? You know that the process of finding a good college to attend can be very daunting. Some of you have gone through that. Some of you maybe said, yeah, not for me. And that's fine too. But there's so many choices out there, right? How to find a good one. And even if you say, I want to go to a Christian college, well, that can be daunting too. I mean, there's so many options. And the wrong choice can change you for the worse. Can affect you not just your pocketbook, but spiritually change the course of your life, as unfortunately has happened to too many. So what do? You need people who will be willing to guide you in that process. I mean, a lot of people spend a lot of money and a lot of time into that whole pursuit. You need people you can trust that will help you to assess the college. I talked to my siblings, talked to my parents, who was happened to also be my pastor, and later, you know, even just in the seminary decision, I was talking to my pastor at college. You know, those trusted people that guide you, because this can set the course of your life. Do you see how finding wise people to guide you in life can be just as daunting? Will you follow the advice of God's word to find the faithful and flee the foolish? Do you know how to find the wise people to follow and so find wisdom in life? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth, its instruction for us. Help us to live in light of it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.